Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Well, I don't know what to say.
It's just the fundamental lack of respect. That's it.
I think we better split up.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, the divorce rate in the United States continues to hover around 50%. That means that for every two couples who get married this year, a third will divorce. And at the heart of many of these divorces is a fundamental lack of understanding of what men and women both need to experience in a marriage to keep them connected to their spouses. Well, after 20 years of pulpit ministry, pastor and author Emerson Eggerich left the pastorate to begin speaking to couples about a woman's primary desire for marriage, feeling loved by her husband, as well as a man's basic need from his wife, which is her respect. Well, during the next half hour, Emerson Eggerich joins me once again as we continue our discussion about creating a marriage built on love and respect, and it's easier to do than you might think. That's coming up next, right here on Homeward, so stay with us.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Right now, we're going to get into part two of a two-part conversation featuring Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Emerson Eggerich talking about a principle for marriage from Ephesians, creating a marriage built on love and respect. It's a very, very simple concept, and yet it's amazing how many parents and families are the parenting season's better, the parent-child relationship is better, of course, the marriage is better simply because husbands learn the value of love and respect in a marriage and wives learn the value of love and respect in a marriage. So if you're in a situation right now where your marriage is going okay, but it could be doing better, we are so glad that you've tuned into the program. Right now with part one of today's program, here is Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is day two of a great conversation we're having on keys to a successful marriage. Dr. Emerson Eggerich is with us again today. He's the author of Love and Respect. It's a gold medallion book, a great book. It's a revolutionary message. It's a simple message, and it is a message that works. When love and respect are given in a marriage, bad marriages can become good, and good marriages can become great. And that's what we're talking about today. Emerson, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Jim.
Well, I appreciate so much the common sense that you gave us last time. Some of our listeners didn't get to hear it. But before we talk a little bit about what we talked about last time, you made a decision some time ago now to leave pastoral ministry so that you could devote yourself to full-time helping marriages. How has that gone, and what caused you to do that?
Well, partly the discovery that I made in Ephesians 5:33, that husbands must love and wives must respect, and what I call the love and respect connection. Without love, she reacts without respect, and without respect, he reacts without love, and this thing triggers itself, and round and round and round
right.
It goes. And once I saw that, I thought, whoa, I think that could be very helpful, and especially because of my own personal background. My mom and dad divorced when I was one, and then they remarried one another, for which I'm grateful, but then they separated again for many years. So all through my developmental years, my mom and dad were not together, and I wet the bed until I was 11. I remember crying myself to sleep many a night, and I eventually was sent to a military academy from age 13 to 18. And so I have a woundedness, and I'm deeply burdened for couples that are like my mom and dad, who were good-willed people, who were on this crazy cycle, but who were at one another's throat, so to speak, emotionally, because they were confused, they were misinterpreting one another. And so we feel a compelling drive to serve couples with this simple message that we really do think can bring about healing in relationships that are experiencing this craziness.
Now, Emerson, you brought this story of your past to your relationship with Sarah. How did that affect your relationship as you guys first started going through the process of courtship and then marriage?
Well, in terms of the crazy cycle, as Sarah and I say, we practice what we preach, you know. We still get on the crazy cycle, and everybody does. But she, too, came out of much divorce in her family, and both of us are deeply burdened about the collapse of marriage and the culture. And again, it's people who, you know, marry. You know, when Sarah and I married, I didn't say, Sarah, you know, I hate you and you hate me, so let's get married. You know, it doesn't go down that way.
Sure.
So why is it that we have this 40 to 50% divorce rate? And one of the things that Sarah and I are seeking to bring to the table is an understanding of what Paul is saying in Ephesians 5:33 And we're trusting that this will prove to be very helpful, because a lot of people are staring out the window late at night thinking, this is crazy. Why do we keep getting into these conflicts? Why do we keep arguing with one another? It didn't start out this way. Why do we keep experiencing this? Did I make a mistake? And we're saying, no, there isn't a mistake. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7:28, if you marry, you have not sinned, but you will have trouble. But you will have trouble. And I say to people, some of you are in the center of God's will and you don't know it. You're right on course. Take it easy. Relax.
That is very good. Now, a woman comes to you and says, how can I get my husband to love me as much as I love him? What do you say to her?
Well, one of the points that we make is that God designed women to love. There's no command in the New Testament for a wife to agape love her husband. And I'm a Bible student. I study the Bible 30 hours a week for nearly 20 years in my senior pastorate. And I came across that. I thought, that's odd. Why is a wife not commanded to agape love her husband? And I remember praying about that. And the Lord, in his inaudible way, said, I designed her to love. I created her to love. I put it within her nature to nurture. I'm not going to command her to do what I created her to do, because I'm not into redundancy. And so here's one of the points. It's natural for women to love at the level of intimacy. Why then does God command the husband to agape love? Because he doesn't do that as naturally. The same thing, why does God command a wife to respect her husband? Because she doesn't do that naturally, especially when she feels unloved. But he doesn't command the man to respect. Why? Because men have an honor code. We do that naturally. So here's the point. A wife who is expecting her husband to feel about love and to feel sentimental in the same way she does about X's and O's and hearts and sleepless in Seattle, no man generally is going to respond at the same level, because Jesus said, have you not read, he who made them from the beginning made them male and female. He made us different, not wrong. So a husband is not going to feel about love, and this is the point I'm leading up to, in the same way she feels about love. And it's crucial that she come to grips with how God has in fact designed her husband. He's not as feeling-oriented, but he is committed. Jesus even said, no greater love is a man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. And most men would die for their wives. And that's the way love has to be defined. If you define it as sentimentality, then you could label the man as unloving, because he doesn't feel as romantic about things. But does that mean that he doesn't care? Does that mean he doesn't love? No. And one of the things we're encouraging wives to do is to come to grips with how God has made her husband and be more accepting of that. And furthermore, as we point out, when he feels disrespected, he tends to react in ways that feel unloving to her, but he's not trying to be unloving. He's actually trying to do the honorable thing in many instances by calming himself down, distancing himself so that he can kind of collect his thoughts again. He's not even thinking about being unloving. Yet, here it is, she feels unloved, and she also feels that he doesn't feel about her the way she feels about him. And we're pointing out, this is a faith venture. Trust the way God has made your husband, and don't impugn motives too quickly until you know facts to the contrary. Trust his heart. Trust that he's a good-willed man.
Make a lot of sense. Now, when we talked about the crazy cycle, without love, she reacts. Without respect, he reacts. But there is an energizing cycle, which we've been alluding to. And this is his love motivates her respect, which motivates his love. And that's the positive cycle that we're talking about here. We obviously want to get couples with a long-lasting, successful marriage to be living within the energizing cycle. How do you make that transition from a crazy cycle to the energizing cycle that you talk about in your book?
Well, it comes down to this issue. The key to motivating another person is meeting that person's deepest need. And so every woman knows that if a husband really committed himself to be more loving, and included in that was his willingness to apologize when he came across as unloving, that qualifies, in her view, of what love is all about. You say you're sorry. Every woman knows that she would soften. If she has any degree of goodwill, she knows that if he really tried to be more loving, if he tried to apologize more often when he came across as unloving, she knows that her heart would soften and that she would move toward him. And she would even say she was sorry for what she did wrong. Why? When you meet her deepest need, she responds. She has to be one bad dudist, so to speak, for her not to respond. Why? Because you're meeting her deepest need to feel love for who she is. So too, the key to motivating a man is meeting his deepest need. And even though he needs love, and we're not undermining that, we're saying that he tends to filter the relationship through the respect grid. Why? He is assured of her love. God designed her to love. She loves to love. That's why you ask a guy, hey, Joe, yeah, does your wife love you? Oh, yeah. Hey, Joe, what? Does she like you? No. No, not today. He doesn't lack assurance that she loves him. He lacks assurance that she likes him and respects him. So if a woman, for instance, tones down her negative response, and again, it's not what she says to him that shuts him down, it's how she says it. I say to women, go into the bathroom after you've had a fight with your husband and reenact in front of the mirror how you talk to him. And I'm going to tell you, the roll in the eyes, the dark look, the sour face, the scolding finger, the hands on the hips, the rolling of the eyes, the sighing, all of those are gestures of contempt. And so he shuts down on that. And if a woman just says to herself, is that which I'm about to say or do going to feel respectful to him or not? He doesn't deserve the respect. That's not the point. But you come across respectfully. What we find is this. You're meeting a need that he has. And lo and behold, instead of him staying stonewalled, instead of him distancing himself, he tends to move back toward her to engage and to connect. So one of the things we encourage people to do is make a decision. After you've blown it, are you going to continue to justify that and place blame? And you know that doesn't work. It hasn't, at least up to this point. So do you want to make a minor adjustment? And is it going to kill you to come back and apologize for, and this is why I say to women, say, I'm sorry for being disrespectful. Don't say, I'm sorry for being unloving. He doesn't see you as unloving. It's important that a woman apologize for being disrespectful and use the word and watch what he does. It's totally different. And I say to a man, use the word, I'm sorry for being unloving. Will you forgive me? I am sorry.
So interesting to hear this conversation in light of the modern culture that really has the wrong misconceptions. I mean, big misconceptions about what love and respect are all about. Today here on the Homeward Broadcast, if you're just tuning in, Roger Marsh here in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. And we're having a conversation featuring Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Emerson Eggerich on creating a marriage built on love and respect. Dr. Eggerich's book is called Love and Respect, and we have a link to it on our website today. Also, Dr. Jim Burns has written about this in his book, Creating an Intimate Marriage. And if you order a copy of Jim's book from Homeward, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, and we truly appreciate that financial support. You can order online at homeward.com, or you can call us for ordering information at 800-397-9725. And thank you for remembering that Homeward is a completely listener-supported broadcast ministry. We truly appreciate your faithful prayers and tax-deductible donations to support our organization. And now let's get back into it with the conclusion of this conversation on creating a marriage built on love and respect. Here once again is Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Dr. Emerson Eggerich. We're talking about keys to successful marriages. And many of us have made some wrong mistakes, not because we want to, but because we've just gotten in some bad habits. We've talked about the crazy cycle, which is without love, she reacts, and without respect, he reacts, and we start stonewalling, and there's criticism and negativity, and all of a sudden we find ourselves bleeding. And yet there is an energizing cycle, which Emerson talks about. It's his love motivates her respect, which motivates his love. And that's where we want to get on to. Emerson, you have an acronym for men that says couples. And it seems like that's really a great way to communicate how we can stay on this energizing cycle. How about going through some of that with us?
Yes, and one of the things we are encouraged about, many men feel overwhelmed by the complexity of intimacy. And you know, Paul just says one word, husbands love and wives respect, and that's why we do the Love and Respect conferences, why we titled the book Love and Respect. There's just one thing a guy has to remember, and then we've kind of defined it in six little ways, just little things that kind of are helpful, and I put it in an acronym to help us, because without love, she reacts without respect, and so a guy could say, why is she coming across so disrespectfully to me? Well, it could be because you didn't come across lovingly to her just before that. And specifically, the COUPLE, the acronym, represents various key points in Scripture that are God's instructions to husbands in relationship to their wives. For instance, that first one is closeness, that the husband is to cleave. And so if a husband is not willing to be face-to-face with his wife, to be close with her at some level, he never will do that as naturally as she wants it, but he can do it more than he has been. then most wives are going to negatively react. And unfortunately, they're going to react in ways that feel disrespectful to him because she's trying to get a message through to him. I need reassurance that you love me. I need reassurance that you want to be close to me because we're lovers and we're supposed to be best friends. We're supposed to be soulmates. So by nature, she moves toward her husband to connect with him. Unfortunately, get this, Jim, she will confront him to connect, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he hears that as confront to control. And it's crucial that husbands and wives decode the heart of the other. And in this instance, your wife will move toward you to connect, to couple, to be close, because that's how she spells love. And what we've done is we've given these men kind of a track to run on, and they can pretty much decode why their wife is being negative. And it's kind of exciting to have that kind of knowledge, because that information then helps us decode and decipher and to soften things so that we don't maintain this crazy cycle that I talk about.
Well, it really does make a lot of sense. And yet at the same time, she wants you to open up to her with the O. But that's a hard thing for some men to do, isn't it?
Well, as I say, men will never be as open as women want because we don't have a need for that. And this is another point I make in the conference. Is it okay for my spouse to have a need that I don't have? And am I going to pass judgment on my spouse for having that need when I don't? For instance, women need a greater openness. Now, a husband's never going to be as open as his wife wants, but he can be more open than he has been, particularly if he remains quiet to try to protect her from something that's bothering her. One of the things that Dr. Deborah Tannen, the great researcher and linguist, has found, that women tend to personalize things. So if a man comes home and he's moody, he's upset, but he doesn't tell her about what, and it could have been related to the work, she's going to personalize. She's going to begin to think, I wonder if I said something to him this morning. I wonder if he's mad at me. So she's going to move toward him and try to draw him out. And she's going to say, can we talk? This is her nature. This is what she does. And look at how she treats her best girlfriend. They meet over at a cappuccino cafe at a little round table, and they'll sit there for an hour looking face to face, and they will be open with one another. This is how God has designed women. He's designed your daughter this way. And so even though we as men will not be women, we are men of honor who are called upon to do the loving thing, though it's not natural. And one of the things we say to men is try to think in terms of being a little bit more open and to be a little bit closer, particularly if she's asking for that. It's not going to kill you, even though it doesn't feel natural and even though it's not your need. This is something you do as a man of honor to serve this woman who's a good-willed woman who's taking care of you and is also the mother of your children.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it really, you know, here we are. I feel like we have you as our therapist, thousands of people today, you know, hearing that, because that really is great insight, very, very good insight. Now, we're talking about couples, closeness, openness, understanding, but there's also peacemaking, loyalty, esteem. She wants you to say, I'm sorry. She needs to know you're committed. She wants you to honor and cherish her. But I want to take a little bit of time on your other acronym, CHAIRS. It's for the wives, and it's conquest, hierarchy, authority, insight, relationship, and sexuality. Mention one or two of those that you see as really critical.
Again, many women who are listening are saying, I have no idea what you're talking about in terms of respect, because respect has been removed from the marital radar screen. When we were in Dr. Dobson, he said to 2.6 million people that he missed it, and every family expert he knows has missed it. This idea of respecting a man because he is a man, I mean, we know voices in the culture that gag on that thought, but the Bible is teaching that, and the best research is pointing this out, that men are motivated to love when their need for respect is met. The best way to love a man is by meeting his need for respect, and the best way to respect a woman is by meeting her need for love. But we define what respect is because gals are saying, I have no idea what you're talking about. But for instance, that acronym, CHAIRS, the R, for instance, we talk about relationship shoulder to shoulder, whereas we reference she wants to be close face to face. Men are energized, get this, ladies, by your mere presence, just being with him shoulder to shoulder, and get this, without talking. Now, this is completely foreign to gals. In women's view, you must be close face-to-face and talk and share your heart in order to bond. Yes, as a woman. But look at how your men relate with other men. Look at how they, and they'll die for their buddies, but they may not talk a whole lot. You know, it's kind of like two guys go hunting, and then they come back, and Mary says to Bob, well, how was your time with Harry? Oh, it was good. Well, did you say anything? No. Did you talk about anything? No, we didn't talk about anything. Well, did you ask him how his wife's pregnancy is going? is she pregnant? You know, they don't get into some of that, and that's very distressing to women. Women cannot believe that men don't talk intimately. But one of the points that we're making is that men tend to bond with one another and are energized by shoulder-to-shoulder relationships. And we encourage women just to sit with their husband, because he's calling, come in here, watch this show, or come and do this with me. And she feels that's a waste of time because she's got other more important things to do, particularly if they're not going to talk. So we ask women to take this by faith. Try it the next couple weeks. When he invites you to be with him, just go be with him and don't say anything. Just be with him. Just be with him and watch what happens. Inevitably, a few minutes later, if not 30 minutes later, he will turn to you and say something that might be quite transparent, but it takes much longer for him to get there. But in the meantime, just simply energize him shoulder to shoulder and watch what happens.
That is great insight. Our time is up. I wish we could keep going. Just great conversation. Thank you so much, Emerson, for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Dr. Emerson Eggerich. Today here on the Homeward Broadcast, we were finishing up with part two on our theme of creating a marriage built on love and respect. If you missed any part of the program, remember we do stream audio at homeward.com, and you can access the archives there without cost. We also podcast these Monday through Friday editions of the program through iTunes, and if you'd like to get that subscription going, again, no cost for that. We can do that because of your prayers and faithful financial support. Go to homeward.com radio broadcast section, hit the tab, and it'll take you right to our iTunes site. You can start that subscription. Jim, take the final moments of our time together here and give us some marching orders, some action points on how we can create a marriage built on love and respect.
One of the most important ways to honor your spouse with love and respect, I think, is through, and I'm going to call it the discipline of having a positive attitude in your marriage. Now, your circumstance may not change in your marriage, but your attitude can change, and I think that's going to make all the difference in the world in your marriage. And if you want to create an atmosphere of love and respect for your home and your marriage, then you will want to focus on your attitude. Now, remember, I'm not talking to your spouse on this one. Your spouse probably isn't listening, so this is going to relate to you. It was William James who once said, "The greatest discovery of my generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitudes of their mind." And Abraham Lincoln said kind of the same thing. People are just about as happy as they make their minds to be. Well, this relates to marriage as well, I think. And it takes a proper attitude to shower our spouse with love and respect. Now, I love the attitude of an elderly blind lady who was being moved to a nursing home, and she arrived and was taken to her room, and upon entering the room, she told the nurse enthusiastically, "I just love it." Well, the nurse kind of questioned her. I mean, how can you love it when you've never been here before, and frankly, you can't see it? And this woman gave a great answer. She said, "Well, seeing the room doesn't have anything to do with it. Happiness is my choice, and I've decided to love my room. Every morning, I have a choice on whether I focus on what I don't like about my life or what I do like. And today, I'm choosing right now to love this new room." Well, we have to do that, I think, with our marriage as well. Two practical ideas to show your spouse love and respect beginning today. Number one is stop complaining. The Bible's very clear. It says, "Do all things without grumbling and complaining." I think that constant criticism and negativity shuts down intimacy quicker than anything else, and it surely doesn't show love or respect. Secondly is show gratitude. I call this thank therapy. I believe that you can show love and respect to your spouse in a very practical way by simply taking the time to show gratitude to your spouse. I'm going to go home today, and I'm going to tell Kathy that there is no one on earth that I would rather spend the rest of my life with than her. And she needs to hear that, and I need to tell her that. So what words of gratitude can you share with your spouse today? Now, here's Roger with information about a couple of resources that can truly help you create that marriage built on love and respect.
Absolutely, Jim. One of them, of course, is your book, Creating an Intimate Marriage. And in addition to this book, there's also curriculum that goes along with it as well. So if you and your spouse would like to work through this book together, Creating an Intimate Marriage, we highly recommend you do that. Or if you'd like to get a couple of other couples together and maybe have a couples Bible study of sorts and use this as the centerpiece of that, we encourage you to contact us. You can order a copy of Creating an Intimate Marriage, the book by Dr. Jim Burns. You can order several copies if you'd like to through our Homeward Online Resource Center, and when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. Also, Jim and Kathy Burns' daily or weekly devotional book, rather, called Closer, 52 Faith Conversation Starters for Couples. It's not a full-on seminary-based training program. It's rather just a chance for couples who haven't done weekly devotions together to have a faith conversation once a week, and Closer is a book that'll help you do that. Both Closer and Creating an Intimate Marriage, available for purchase at homeward.com. homeward.com. That's homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.